It is the Rokan Show with Anna DeVlantis right here on 720 WGN. Don't forget, the 18th annual Worldwide Toast to Harry Caray is next Tuesday, March 1st. We're going to be there. Harry Caray's Italian Steakhouse, River North, broadcast from 3 to 7. Ryan Sandberg will lead the toast. Dutchy Caray will be there. Ron Kittle will be there. Richard Dent will be there. Representatives of the Bulls and the Blackhawks will be there. The Ice Girls are going to be there.
The lemurs from Brookfield Zoo are going to be there.
Well, can I tell you a little story before we get to our guests?
The lemurs are not going to be there?
Lemurs are not going to be there. The lemurs are at the Brookfield Zoo, but they will be toasting at the Brookfield Zoo. We didn't bring them there.
It's a remote toast kind of thing. Okay.
We tried really hard, and I am not kidding about this, and we ran into a little bit of a problem. We tried really hard to get a rhino there.
Oh, God.
Because Ryan Sandberg is going to be there.
Is this okay with the health department?
Well, we didn't want the rhino. We found out that rhinos are very hard to control when they're indoors. So we realized that was probably a bad idea when you have a couple hundred people or numbers of hundreds of people in a bar. Mm-hmm. Having a rhino run through it is not a good idea.
Terrible idea.
But we were going to put a rhino in the parking lot because there's a little parking lot that people don't even notice. It's right next to Harry Caray's. That we were going to gate it off and put a rhino in there. Mm-hmm. And my idea was to have the rhino parachute in to the parking lot. But then I was told by experts that there is an issue with wind, and we didn't want the rhino accidentally hitting a hotel instead.
I see what you're doing there.
That's the kind of thinking that went into this broadcast and to this event. So if that's what we're thinking and we're still a week out, imagine a week from today what it's going to be like at Harry Caray's Italian Steakhouse. Go to WGNradio.com/events or Facebook.com/toasttoharry. All right. David Yepsen is with us and at the Southern Illinois University, there is the Paul Simon Institute, which for political studies, and they have done their first poll, or at least this is the first published poll. I don't know, David, maybe you have been doing polls and we've not just seen them, but the first one that's come to my attention of the major races coming up in Illinois. And I want to start with the Senate races here because I'm a little bit surprised by this, quite honestly. And you're looking at job approval numbers here. Is that the best way to describe what we're seeing here?
Well, yeah, it is the first time that we pulled polling on the Senate races. Now, what we've done, and we look at the two U.S. senators. Senator Kirk's job approval rating is at 39%. Senator Durbin's job approval rating is at 51%. So that's a sign that Mark Kirk is in some difficulty. Anytime a politician's job approval drops below 50%, they're considered to be in trouble. There are 31% of Illinois voters that disapprove of the performance that Mark Kirk is doing, and another 25% don't know. So
that's a pretty big number.
That's 56% of the voters in Illinois are just kind of ambivalent about Mark Kirk. So that's not a good position for him to be in.
You know, it's interesting, though, I know that Dick Durbin is not up for re-election here, but what is interesting, of Dick Durbin's number, as you pointed out, he's got a 51% approval rating, but he has a higher disapproval rating than Mark Kirk. So it tells you that people are they're more polarized when it comes to the issue of Dick Durbin than they are of Mark Kirk, at least.
Well, that's this is a polarized country and a polarized electorate right now. Yeah. And, you know, you either love him or you hate him, seems like.
All right. So when you go when you get into the actual race here, the Democratic race, you got Tammy Duckworth, the congresswoman, taking on Andrea Zopp and Napoleon Harris, former football star who's now a politician, a nascent politician. And the number is staggeringly high for Tammy Duckworth, isn't it?
Yeah, she rolls in at 52% support among Democratic voters. That's a pretty good shape for her to be in. Andrea Zopp is at 6%. Napoleon Harris is at 4%. And there are 37% who are undecided. So there's still a little ambivalence in the Democratic electorate, but not very much. And I'd say that looks pretty good for Tammy Duckworth going in March 15th primary.
With a well-funded campaign, it does look as if it could be a Mark Kirk, Tammy Duckworth face-off.
If you do have Andrea Zopp and Napoleon Harris getting together as one person to become Andrea Harris. That would be 10%. And they take every single one of the people who haven't decided yet.
Right.
Tammy Duckworth still wins.
That's true.
Right. And I think the way to look at this race is that Andrea's up and Napoleon Harris maybe plan a long game. You know, a lot of politicians get elected on their second or third go around.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
There's certainly other positions coming open in Illinois in a couple of years. They're running good, credible races. They're not going to do well probably, but they position themselves well for future campaigns.
Okay, Mark Kirk has an opponent, James Martyr. I don't think that there's much money in the Martyr campaign, right?
No, he's a conservative businessman from Oswego.
Right.
A lot of Republican conservatives are not happy with Mark Kirk, have not been. You know, he just said the other day that the president should have the right to make that Supreme Court decision. Kirk's a moderate Republican, and these days, those are few and far in between, as that Republican presidential primary shows.
Yeah, that's true. But Mr. Martyr only enjoys 14% approval at this point compared to Mark Kirk's 53%.
Yeah. He hardly looks vulnerable when it comes to the primary, the Republican primary, at least given these poll results you have right now.
Well, he does look to be in pretty good shape in the primary, 53%. But the other way to look at that is, you know, that means that 47% of Republican voters aren't with him. They're with somebody else or they don't know. So again, that's a sign that Mark Kirk is going to have some difficulty, and that's true. That puts this Senate race in the real crosshairs in the battle for control of the US Senate.
No question about it. And you know, Mark Kirk's health issues are well documented, and it'll be interesting to see what sort of campaigning he is able to do. He doesn't have to do a ton of it right now in this primary, but it's going to be a pitched, hard-fought battle between he and Tammy Duckworth, and it's going to be really interesting to see how the two of them and, you know, with his communication. It took Mark Kirk some time to regain his verbal abilities.
Right.
Right. And, you know, even setting aside his health issues, if this were just even a normal election, I mean, this is Illinois. It's a presidential election year. He's a moderate Republican with not a lot of support from some of the people in his party base. I think this race would have been in the Democrats' crosshairs even without his health issues.
All right. Now, David, let's talk about the Democratic race for president. Hillary Clinton, Illinois' very own native daughter. She enjoys a pretty substantial lead here in Illinois, 51-32 over Bernie Sanders.
Yeah, that's pretty good shape. Although the thing to be careful about this, and we all know polls are not a predictor. Hillary Clinton has had some pretty good leads in some of these other states that we've seen so far in this contest, only to see Bernie Sanders tighten it up some at the end.
Mm-hmm.
And Bernie Sanders is doing well with millennial voters. And Hillary Clinton has shown some vulnerabilities. Now, she looks to be pretty good shape coming out of Nevada, and we've got some other contests before the March 15th primary. So you have to say, going in, she looks to be in pretty good shape. But this is Illinois. There are a lot of progressive Democrats here. Sanders has shown an ability to move those voters at the end of a campaign. So I don't think she can lock this thing up. I think the Illinois Democratic primary is going to be important in the battle for delegates.
All right. Now, in the Republican side, this is interesting because your polling obviously predates the Saturday election in South Carolina. So Jeb Bush is still in this. But you have Donald Trump right now in the lead in Illinois at 28%. Ted Cruz and Marco Rubio, John Kasich, all within a point of each other, essentially, a point and a half of each other, 15, 14, and 13.
That's right. And the issue in Illinois is the same one that's unfolding in the Republican Party in Nevada right now and around the country. The party establishment, the non-Trump Republicans, are trying to get some of these candidates to get out of the race. I think Jeb Bush was persuaded to leave on Saturday night after his poor showing, as you mentioned, in South Carolina. Because while Trump is ahead with 28%, that means 72% of Republicans in Illinois are someplace else. And if you could rally even some of those around another candidate, you might have the ability to slow Donald Trump down. That's their thinking anyway. And so while it's good news for Donald Trump, he's ahead almost 2-1 over his nearest challenger in the state. That's still not good from the standpoint of a plurality of Illinois Republicans almost three quarters of them are with somebody else or don't know.
I'm going to promise you this, that by the time this gets to Illinois, there's going to be one candidate taking him on. Maybe two. Maybe Ben Carson stays in it because he's got a book to sell. But other than that, I mean, one legitimate candidate that's going to be going up against him. I think that the Republicans realize it, and they're scared poopless, and they need to do something about it. That's a technical term, by the way, David. Poopless. Yeah.
I've heard that term in political science before.
Yeah, I'm sure you have.
I'm sure it applies quite a bit.
All right, now,
well, that person may be Marco Rubio.
I think
there seems to be a lot of pressure from establishment Republicans on John Kasich, as there was on Jeb Bush, to move out of this race and let Rubio have that clean shot at Trump.
And Kasich gets a vice presidency there.
Which could make for Illinois a great battleground if it's the first time that there's a head-to-head contest, so to speak.
You know what's fascinating? Donald Trump, did you see this, Anna? Did you see this? When you take, and what I love about this particular poll is he looked at the city of Chicago, Chicago suburbs, and then downstate.
Yep.
And Donald Trump, and this is what we found nationally, he is at 28% in Chicago. He's at 28% in the suburbs and at 27% downstate.
So it doesn't matter where you're from.
Right. Just under one third, about 30% of Republican primary voters around the country are interested in Donald Trump regardless. I mean, in Chicago, let's face it, Chicago's not a very Republican city, and still he's getting 28% of Republican primary voters.
Fascinating.
There.
And you look at someone like John Kasich, a moderate in the city of Chicago, he does very well, 28%. In the suburbs, not as well, 13%. And then downstate, 10%. It's a very different story for a candidate like him.
Fascinating stuff there, David.
Oh. It is. It's a incredible election year. Both parties are trying to figure out what they stand for. We're in uncharted waters in both of them. And it's a great election to watch. And it's an important one, too.
Oh, for sure.
Good point.
Hey, I wanted to say, because you were with the Des Moines Register for many, many, many years. Isn't that right, David?
That's right. 35 years covering politics.
35 years covering politics. So, obviously, you know, every 2 years they do, basically, there's a dog and pony show, right, in Iowa to get people ready. You know, obviously you've got the, you know, every 4 years you've got the first caucus, but then you know, every other year there is a, you know, they do the straw poll. So have you
they quit doing the straw poll? The Republicans did. They quit doing it because it was taken away from the caucuses. So this cycle the Republicans went right to the main event in February.
Do you think that this is the craziest thing you've ever seen in your three decades plus of covering this?
Well, it's certainly right up there, because who among us knew that Donald Trump was going to be doing as well as he is? I mean, we talked a lot of talk. Voters are angry. They're frustrated. They're afraid. They're scared. And so he's doing much better than anybody I know in politics would have predicted. And he did well in Iowa, although Ted Cruz narrowly came in ahead of him in the Republican caucuses that night. And on the Democratic side, Bernie Sanders has come out of nowhere.
Crazy, isn't it?
To scare Hillary Clinton. So it is a fascinating election to watch, and it's breaking a lot of the old rules of the game every day.
Certainly is. All right. David, thank you very much. This is really fascinating stuff. And thanks, everybody.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you. Thanks, everybody at SIU for putting this thing together, Southern Illinois University and the Paul Simon, not the singer, the senator. They often had to say that.
Wore a bow tie, very famously.
The Political Institute at Southern Illinois University, which is a very, very, very... The reputation of that is growing exponentially.
You know, you're right, though. If you think about if any of these other candidates do drop out in the next few days, weeks, that Illinois could become very important.
It's days, and I really hope you're right.